Here's the latest from Canadian lawyer, Law Times and Lexpert on June 2nd, 2023. I'm Steve Randall. An Ontario lawyer recently lost his appeal of a Law Society tribunal order revoking his license to practice law due to 17 findings of professional misconduct. The tribunal found that the lawyer, Mathis Rapoport, had charged excessive and unreasonable fees on 6 occasions, failed to serve clients to the standard of a competent lawyer 8 times, failed to hold information in strict confidence once, and communicated in a manner that was neither courteous nor civil twice. In addition to being permanently stripped of his license to practice law, the Law Society has fined him $29,400. He's also been subject to 3 separate tribunal hearings since 2016. In the first 2, Rapoport was suspended for 4 months and then 2 years and ordered to pay a total of $44,400. Gavin McKenzie, whose practice involves professional responsibility, liability and discipline, says Rapoport's case is unique.
It's certainly not uncommon for the Law Society to proceed on allegations of multiple breaches of the rules of professional conduct, but it's very unusual for the same lawyer to be prosecuted for as many different breaches of the rules of professional conduct as Mr. Rapoport was alleged to have breached in this case.
An Ontario Superior Court of Justice judge has dismissed charges of sexual assault laid against a husband by his wife, ruling her description of him as being controlling flew in the face of evidence that showed him as having a passive, apologetic personality. In dismissing the charges, Judge Alfred J. O'Mara accepted the evidence of a forensic psychiatrist that portrayed FZ as having the characteristics of a person with complex trauma, a hypervigilant, passive and apologetic person who sought to please his former wife to avoid her anger, which appeared easily triggered. Judge O'Mara found wife WLM's description of FZ as being a controlling and entitled person to have been disingenuous and incongruent, as texts presented displayed a person who was trying continuously to avoid conflict. FZ's lawyer, Joseph Neuberger, says the expert testimony of the forensic psychiatrist was novel and important.
So, as far as I could tell in research, there was no reported decisions that I could rely upon for anything similar where there was expert evidence called. And we thought it would be quite a challenge at the beginning, although we did see from our client substantial indicia of him being fairly traumatized as a result of what happened in the marriage.
He also says that while it's not common for husbands to be the victim in domestic sexual assault cases, it does happen.
What's so profound and important about this is it shows that, you know, abuse, you know, applies to both genders. And that unfortunately, this type of case, the complainant and the evidence, does a disservice to true victims because it's one of those types of cases where it's very clear that the complainant's narrative of our client is false.
Dave Stern has an exciting career in entertainment and sports, and his path to developing this practice was unusual. He spoke to Canadian lawyer about a cold call he made in law school to his favourite sports team that landed him a summer job that helped launch his career.
I never felt like I fit in. And I think in second year law school, at the beginning, when everyone is rushing to get their OCI applications in to get, you know, in their minds, the top law job that, again, they're fighting with each other over, I was almost just fed up with the system. Like, I have this personality that I know is unique to law students, and I know that I want to work in sports. And if I apply like everyone else is going to apply, I'm just not going to get what I want. I'm just going to call 1-800 Raiders. I'm a diehard Raider fan. I'm just going to call them. Like, worst comes worst, I get rejected. I have to do this. And of course, I got like transferred immediately to the ticketing department that asked me which tickets and games I wanted. And I said, I have an urgent legal issue. I have to speak to general counsel, who at the time was Jeff Buren, and the Raiders are always being sued or suing someone in the news. So I knew their names, and they actually patched me through to Jeff Buren. And I had, I ended up just having this pitch that I rehearsed over and over again, and it worked. I ended up having several phone calls with Jeff Buren and then even one with Amy Trask, the CEO at the time, who I've like idolized. And I managed to facilitate an internship where I moved to Oakland in my second year of law school to work for the Raiders in their legal department.
He spoke about how he builds trust with his creative clients by meeting them where they are.
I think anyone that achieves a certain level of success in a creative industry, they have people that they trust, not just people that think that, you know, the clock is running and this is how my lawyer approaches things. They need, you know, they need someone that they feel like they can connect with. And that means a lot to me. I don't betray that trust for anything, and I want to try to constantly build and maintain it.
There's a good reason why a potential condominium buyer should look over the status certificate when they're buying, as one purchaser in Waterloo, Ontario, recently found out. But it's just as important, an Ontario Superior Court of Justice judge said in a recent ruling, that the certificate indicates the potential for special assessments or costs. Judge Michael Gibson made this comment in deciding that condo purchaser Adam Bruce is exempt from paying any special fees related to water main repairs at the condominium complex at Bluevale Street in Waterloo, Ontario. That's because the key paragraph said there were no known costs coming down the pipe, even though a $2.5 million project would be needed in coming years. Ought he have retained a lawyer to review the status certificate and advise him? Patently yes, said Judge Gibson. It's always prudent for a prospective purchaser to do so, and choosing not to do so potentially exposes them to risk. But I do not accept the corporation's submission that his failure to do so in this case made Bruce the author of his own misfortune, given the clear summary statement provided on behalf of the corporation. Natalia Polis, a Toronto-based lawyer who often works with condo corporations, says the judge makes a good point.
So if you are aware of a situation where there could be an increase in common expenses or there could be a special assessment and you've gone a little bit down that rabbit hole of looking into it and maybe hiring experts to see what would the costs of this be because we have to proceed with this, then it should be noted.
An Ontario Superior Court has ordered the law firm Owens Wright LLP to pay $739,649 to a creditor of an insolvent client, finding that the firm and client colluded to fraudulently prefer one creditor, Owens Wright, over the others. Justice Edward Morgan found that two consent judgments that the firm obtained against its financially distressed client were an abuse of process and amounted to a fraudulent preference, contrary to Section 3 of the Assignments and Preferences Act. He ruled the judgments null and void. Robert Choi, head of Owens Wright's litigation group and counsel on the case, did not respond to Law Times' request for comment. You'll find the links to these stories in the show notes. And to get the latest CL Talk episodes automatically in your favourite podcast app, just click follow or subscribe.